This episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast is sponsored by footygreets.com.
Hi, it's Paul Devlin here.
Hiya, Jeff Horsfield here.
This is Neil Danz.
Rowan Vine here.
Birthday, wedding, anniversary, or any occasion. Personalised video messages from your favourite footballers. footygreets.com.
Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
All right, before we get into anything, mate, let's go to some Bristol City 15-second opinions along with some potential new management 15-second opinions. Let's hear them.
Let's go.
15-second opinion.
Where do we start? Poor management, poor recruitment, no plan A, no plan B. Nothing. This geezer is an absolute joke.
Absolute shambles. The individual errors are just pathetic, embarrassing. Players on £15,000 a week or more making errors like that. Club needs to just restart, start over again. Just need to complete rebuild.
Karanka has to go tonight, otherwise we're going to go down. We've got 10 games left. We need a manager that can fight 10 games and play 4-4-2.
Whoa, naked baby!
Oh. Ideally for the 10 games, Tony Pulis has had a good record in the Prem, keeping teams up. But I think realistically, Nigel Atkins could go down with us as well to League One if that happened.
Please, Karanka's gone. It had to happen. As for the next person, Pulis being rumoured, if it's short term, I don't really have an issue with it. In our position, we can't really be picky. Some of the names bandied about, it's ridiculous. Managers who are in jobs or out of jobs will be looking at it going, I'd rather know what League Blues are in before I commit to anything long-term. Plus, the club might not be interested in anything long-term either. If it's purely, so be it.
Hey, gents. William Wright Heatley here, American in Birmingham. Big news from the club today. Love your content. Personally, for me, I'd like Lee Bowyer or Frank Lampard, but realistically, it'll probably be Pulis or somebody for a short-term solution. Anyway, all the best. Keep right on.
Just give me someone that will keep us up this season and then next season give us a minimum mid-table finish and maybe playoffs. I don't care who it is. Just I want a manager who will give us sustainability.
Right, lads. I personally think we should bring in Mark Hughes. I think we need someone that's going to rejuvenate the confidence in the team and demand respect from the players.
Lads, next manager. I like Paul Warne, Rotherham, but there's nothing more Blues than poaching another relegation rivals manager and still getting relegated. I like Gary Monk, but don't know if he'd come back. I think we need a strong, strong manager.
I just want to say, Chris, nothing from the club yet.
No, nothing from the club yet. You're right,
there, Tom. Naked baby yet. Thanks very much for my accidental voice message that I me shouting at my naked child as I came in for
it. Baby.
Shit, so just to add a bit of context to that message,
whoa,
everyone.
Baby.
I just came in from a bit of a very early morning long run, and my youngest daughter greeted me by opening the door to me completely starkers. And at the time, I had my phone in my hand and accidentally sent a voice message to Chris and a group of other friends.
Fitness fanatics.
Not quite.
Fat bastards might be one, that are trying to lose some weight. I think
that might be one. Yeah. That might be one phrase for us. Yeah. But,
We'll go with big news.
Big Mother's Day. Best present my missus could have got. Karanka going, I suppose.
Did she sort it? Did she?
Maybe. Who knows? But,
you sorted it for her. Sorry.
That was my gift for her.
Along
with an afternoon tea and some other bits.
So nice from you, that is, mate. Yeah. I'm not going to say I predicted it. I sort of thought around 10 games to go might be the sort of time that they'd think about changing if we were. I'd heard that it was if we were in the relegation zone, around 10 games to go might be the sort of trigger, and we're not quite in that situation, but
as rather than have 87 games in hand on us or something, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, but it gives us a chance, a fighting chance of getting out of it if we can put a run together. And it's probably sort of 5 or 10 games overdue, but then we sort of had that little upturn in I'm not going to even say form. It was because it wasn't form as such. It was performances looked like we were showing a bit more.
Yeah, I mean,
looked a bit more lively.
I mean, I was one of the last people to say, right, he's got to go. I quite freely admit that I wanted to give him more time because I don't want to keep going through managers, and there were signs in that sort of period of games. But, and we can get into this and we can talk about like where did it all go wrong. But consistency is a massive, massive issue because whenever we have 2 or 3 games where we look like we're playing better or we've played better, like we just completely crumble a couple of games later. And it's just, there's been no consistency from the start with formations, with personnel.
I think that you've actually just touched on one of the reasons that there is no consistency there in terms of form and stuff, because when we are playing reasonably well and there's a bit of consistency in the selection, in the formation, he's done it. Like we've gone 4-1-4-1 and we've played a few games, and then we've come up against it wasn't Huddersfield, was it? Was it Huddersfield? We came up against someone and changed the team around again. We've gone with 3 at the back and wing backs, and then we've come into another game and we've changed again and gone 4-2-3-1. It's like there was something that looked like it was working, it was reasonable, and he's deviated away from it again.
It's from the very, very start, it was, we'd had 3 or 4 different formations. His personnel had been all over the shop. We had those 2 games against Reading and
Bristol City, was it?
Bristol City, yeah. Reading, Bristol City, where I think it's 4-2-3-1 that we were playing well. You're right, change of formation. Again, we had that 4-1-4-1/4-3-3 where things started to go well, and then he's gone back to 5 at the back. And it's just from the very start. Now, whether it's to do with like a lack of pre-season or what, I don't know, but just, it never seemed to be, there was no conviction there with anything. And, you know, for a long time, I was like, he's just trying to find his best 11 or his best, or the players that he can trust. And I think he got to that point and then he found the formation and he would just start players would make a couple of mistakes and they'd be out, and then out completely and just completely disappear from the face of the earth, and then they're back again. It's like, well, how are those players feeling? Like, to be completely just cast off for like weeks and weeks. Out. Yeah, it's just...
There was talk of Gary Monk's bomb squad where players were literally shipped out and just left out of the... They weren't even training with the first team. They were gone.
But that was very at the beginning, wasn't it?
They knew where they stood. Whereas even like people like Kieftenbeld, it was like, you're not going to be involved. You're not wanted, but you're still training with the first team. He got an opportunity. He came in, he did well, and then he sold. And it's like, released or whatever, however that deal was done. And it's like people like Terrell comes in, plays brilliant at Reading, scores 2 goals, wins the game for us essentially. And then was it the Watford game, was it the one after, or was it the other way around, was Bristol City after that? I can't remember which way around it came, but he was basically
Bristol City then Reading, wasn't
yeah,
it
yeah I thought it yeah, was yeah. So Reading and then Watford, wasn't it? Watford at home,
something
and,
like that
and
yeah,
we went
I think
to
so.
The 3 at the back or 5 at the back as it was, and barely seen him since. And it's that type of thing. It's like he's still in and around the first team training and whatever, but just I think other players are going to see that and think, well, that's not fair. And then you've got people like Adam Clayton, who's underperformed massively on the pitch, got bombed out, but then he's called back in. And he's not into the first team, not into the starting lineup, but he's on the bench in games.
Well, this was it. Like, it incidentally, had like bombed out Mikel San Jose, and everyone was celebrating it. But he brought Adam Clayton back into the squad. Yeah. Do you know? And like, and arguably Clayton has been much worse. At least when MSJ came in and played at the back, he looked pretty competent when he was playing. So just obviously hasn't got the ability to play midfield, but like, you're bombing out a guy that's just moved, like, at least with Clayton, he's obviously from the UK, speaks the language very, like, well, tries to speak the language very well, but with San Jose, that was a big move for him,
yeah.
I think, right? And he didn't just come here on a whim. And, you know, people say, oh, we're paying him loads of money. And, you know, maybe we are paying him a little bit more than the rest of the players in the squad, but actually he has the pedigree, you know, that, you know, you don't mind stamping that sort of money up front for. Then he's got a lot of experience. Like, he might be the sort of player that you'd want in and around the squad. I don't know what's going on there. He's just the way he's handled players, like Jonathan Lico as well, just the way he's commented on him. In,
I hung him out to dry, I think, mate, with him.
Yeah.
There was nothing reasonable about how, like we said weeks ago, sometimes there are players that will react to that and they'll say, well, I'll show you. And he just looks like the type of player who needs it privately, just like put an arm around him and sort of...
Absolutely, yeah.
Doesn't look like the type of bloke who's going to come out from that with any more positive.
It's Matt, like, obviously we're not, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes in terms of how he is with the players, because early doors, all the feedback was from people that we speak to that the relationship that he had with players was good, they were eating out the palm of his hand, they believed in the project. But as things have gone on... It was ham, yeah.
£500 ham.
It was £500 ham. He was still eating yesterday, lunchtime apparently. And then obviously something's happened where they've just become a little bit like the reaction by Harley Dean in the post match interview on Saturday was just like, that was a defeated and broken man. And people could say, we've heard it all before, but I've not seen Dean like that ever. He looked completely, just absolutely down in the dumps. Mentally affected.
I think for weeks they've lost belief in the manager, and I think this probably goes back 5 or 10 games, and they had a little sort of upturn in fortunes, but I don't think they ever truly believed in him. They maybe. I don't know what it was, but I don't think that I think they lost a belief in what he was trying to do. And I think that maybe changing things again has confused them all. And then sort of any belief that that he's won back from them has gone again. And I think that the signs were there, and it's very hard to sort of win that back. I mean, we saw under Zola that he tried to do too much too soon with them, with the squad that he had. But players still liked him. They wanted to do well for him for a long time.
They tried to carry out his stuff.
Yeah, and you could see on the pitch that there was an idea, there was a plan, and it was and that they were behind it. And then it came to a point where it was like banging your head against a brick wall, and the players then, they lose support for it. They give up. That they go out there and that they'll kick a ball around, but they're not really behind what's going on. And I think that we got to the same point this as well.
It's such a weird situation, because I know, like, a lot of fans seemed pretty happy when Karanka came on. I was.
Yep.
I was really positive about it.
I was drinking San Miguel on a night.
You were. I was really positive. I thought it's a good fit. Like, it's the sort of thing we need to try and slowly turn the ship around. No one expected like a massive change in terms of like where we were last season to where we are now, and where we were to like just build it as in, you know what I mean? Like just 4 or 5 places up the league, it's just trying to grind out a few more results, not conceding as many goals. And no one expects us to score loads of goals. But I don't think anyone expected us, even the people that were dead against Karanka coming in because he played boring football. We all knew that his football wasn't great. But I don't think anyone expected it to be this much of a disaster. And, you know, if you're going to constantly change your team. You're not going to create many chances. There's no cohesion. There's no continuity. You know, it's just been a recipe for disaster from the start. He's completely mismanaged. Well, I feel he's completely mismanaged everything. And I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for such a long time, but it's just been a disaster.
There comes a point.
And even when we played well in games, which has been, let's be honest, we've played, 36 games or something? We've played well in about six of those.
Yeah. Probably half of six of them, like 45 minutes or 50 minutes or so.
Well, we have these spells at the beginning of games where, you know, we've created Bristol City, case in point, two really good chances to score two goals, give us a comfortable lead. Don't take them, knowing fine well that we probably get two or three chances like that a game maximum. 5 minutes after, or not even that, about 2 minutes after the second time that Hogan hit the post, Rakeem Harper loses the ball and Casey Palmer goes through and scores a goal. Then there was another individual error. So not taking your limited chances and causing yourself your own problem by shooting yourself in the foot by, you know, so many individual errors, that's only going to go one way, and it's been happening all season.
But again, sort of coming back onto, so we're looking at the weekend's game and the opening mistake, we're then changing the system again and changing the setup of how we're trying to play. Harper's role, to be fair, is probably not too dissimilar to what he was doing, but he's doing it alongside Sonjic in that too. But again, it's a change of system, a change of how to play. Players are going to be in different shapes. And it's just, I think that's something that by changing that, you're putting more pressure on players that you don't need to put on them. Mm. And by doing that, yes, it's an individual mistake. It's an individual error. But I think that by constantly tweaking and changing, and when you don't need to, you're adding pressure to cause those kind of mistakes.
And you're kind of hitting the nail on the head there with just in terms of the continuity and like not chopping and changing all the time, right? Tactically, you know, early doors, you could see he wanted to try and keep a fairly tight ship, not concede many goals. But we started to become a little bit more open. But I find it very difficult to sometimes look at what are the players actually being told to do, because it's very hard to work out. We've touched on it before, I think, with regards to, like, are they being given really difficult things to carry out? Because football, let's just say that our players are, excluding a handful of them, probably not the smartest people around. That if you're going to try and bamboozle them with a whole bunch of tactics and analysis, probably not going to work, especially when confidence is already low. So has he just confused them? Have they confused themselves?
I think so, mate. I think there's a massive shout for that. And I think when you look at how many managers do you see, or assistant managers or coaches or whatever, when they're making substitutions with a massive flip folder showing them like pictures on pages and going through it, and it's like it shouldn't take you 10 minutes to make a change and instruct your substitute on where to be. It should be, they're coming on, they know the job that they're going on to do.
You should already know, and this should be a quick refresher to say, look, here you're marking him, etc. Now this feels like it might have been coming for a little while. There've been rumors about Pulis a few weeks back, which we had had a bit of a laugh and a joke about as well. That actually looks like it might not be completely out of the realms of possibility now. But I think there was a telling sign a couple of weeks ago. I'm not quite sure. Might have been even more recent, when he did his post-match press conference and he was talking about the Rotherham COVID situation and how he thinks they're getting away with, you know, whatever. That to me is a real sign of someone that was under pressure and looking now for excuses.
100%. I said it at the time, and I think some people said it's a bit of a non-story. And we put a poll out to see what people thought, and it was sort of evenly balanced. For me, that was very much, if you're looking at Rotherham and saying that Rotherham should be, essentially that they should be investigated for not playing, they're putting pressure on themselves. Because yeah. If Blues had pulled out 3 wins, they've got to catch up. It's our fault that we haven't won the games that we've played, that when they haven't played. We haven't put the pressure on them.
Wayne Rooney's come out and said a similar thing about Rotherham in the past couple of days, and it's no coincidence that they've had a real bad run of form and they're getting dragged right into it as well at the moment. So it's an easy target for these managers, but it's definitely a sign that these guys are under pressure. And you know, ultimately, it sounds like Crank has paid the price, whether he's decided to walk himself, whether it's mutually agreed, or whether they've fired him. You know, I'm sure there's been talks for the last couple of weeks, potentially, that this was in the offing. He obviously said he wouldn't resign to Brian Dick in the
first match. That was not Spanish.
That was kind of a Chinese/Spanish. I'm not sure what that was, but
it was very apt.
it's quite relative, I suppose. They've obviously made the decision that he had to go, and there was a lot of people talking last Saturday night, Sunday morning that he'd gone. By all accounts, I think he still took training on Sunday morning, so maybe it was, if there was a decision made, he was still coaching the players for first thing. But
I think there's only one thing left to do in this situation though, mate.
Aye, 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 send him to Cornea.
I think it's time. Aitor, pack your bags, you're off to sunny Spain, off to Cornea. Yeah. See you later. And can you take Dong with you?
Yeah, that's the next big thing. Is Dong gonna go? Dong gonna go with him? Now, there's a lot of rumours again today that his head could be on the chopping block. It would not surprise me if it is time for him. If they've made a decision that he needs to be, you know, on what should we call limited duties or something?
King's got a nice big house in London, hasn't he? I'm sure Don can go and do some flowers. Some flowers, yeah.
Yeah, some pruning of bushes and whatnot.
Yep.
Pruning his Dong. But I think whether or not, I think, you know, are we going to get 2 for the price of 1? It might be wishful thinking.
I'm not convinced. However, so the story goes that the whole process, this was obviously, and I think, what's his name? Piercy, is it?
Oh, John Piercy. Yeah.
Put out that saying that Zhao had sort of pulled the trigger on Karanka and that it was his decision, which we understood was the case anyway, that Dong was still very much back in Karanka, even on Saturday night, Sunday morning when they've made the decision that he's going, that he wasn't happy about the decision being made. And obviously, Dong was Karanka's man. Dong was obviously already under pressure, has turned around and said, look, this guy will do it for us. He's the right guy for the job. Made a load of sacrifices himself, to be fair, and involved in training was not happening anymore, and he sort of took a back seat a bit more, and it's backfired, it's not worked out, and ultimately it's his head, isn't it?
When he said that he wouldn't be sitting in front of us in a year's time to tell us to do the same sort of thing, he may well be right, but just in maybe slightly different circumstances. So nice caveat there, Dong. Well done.
Not what he was expecting, but he's worked out that way.
I'm going to say this. The most important thing is replacing. You know, obviously, we need a competent manager, and to try and stay up, to get someone that's going to, and we'll get on to the new boss. Potential new boss, which I think inevitably could be announced today by the sound of it. I think Brian Dick has even said that he expects someone to be announced today also. But the appointment, if Dong is going, that next appointment of his replacement needs to be one that has absolutely has the club's best interests at heart.
And
let's be honest.
And
go on.
Football experience.
Yes. And that's what, and that kind of goes hand in hand with having the club's best interests at heart. I just,
but, yeah.
And someone that's not,
I'm not sure sort of, about that.
someone that's not as easy influenced by people on the, that aren't sort of related to or connected to the club, stuff like that.
I've got one thing to say before we start talking about the new manager.
Go on.
Whoa, naked baby.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to share it on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Let people know that you're enjoying it.
And also don't forget to rate and review us on all podcast platforms.
If they allow it.
If they allow it.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, so he's finally gone. It sounds like finally. It's not, when did he actually officially join? July?
He hasn't officially left.
No, yeah. Nothing from the club yet. Nothing from the club yet.
Thanks, Tom.
Did he unfollow you for that, for your comment? Yeah.
I don't know why he followed me in the first place, because I didn't follow him.
He blocked me a long, long time ago. I think he called me a smart ass for correcting something that he said once, and then shortly afterwards he blocked me. But I don't think I'm missing out on much, to be fair. Bless him. To think when I was about 11, I thought he was one of my heroes. New boss. So... yeah, there's a few names doing the rounds. Obviously, we've spoken about Pulis. Sounds like someone's going to be announced today. There's talk of Neil Harris, betting suspended on him. Lee Bowyer. You've obviously mentioned Gary Monk again about coming back, and I think that would be dependent on Dong going. We've spoken about that. My personal preference is Nigel Atkins. I don't think it'll be him. Don't think there's any noise around him. What do we need?
I genuinely don't know in which direction we're going to go here. I mean, I've heard a few names, but it's that they range from Wilder, which is wild in itself, to be fair. And if they manage to pull that off, hats off to them. Fair play. I can't see it. Can't imagine that would be...
I'd no, say no, no. It would, even if there was any slim hope of bringing him in, I think there might be some legal loopholes to try and jump through to get. I know he is officially exited Sheffield United, but I think there's probably stuff going on in the background, and as there will be with Karanka as well. So,
if they manage to do that and that was announced, hats off to him. I mean, there's I think he's quite sort of favourite for Celtic as well, isn't he, at the moment? So
that'd be a great move for him, actually. Not that we need to be talking about Celtic on this podcast, certainly as I live in Northern Ireland and they're all Rangers fans here, so
I actually think that it's a sort of graveyard in a way for management. It's a nothing league with two Championship standard teams in, but anyway,
let's go back to Birmingham City, where we kill managers on a regular basis,
and any form of creative player as well.
Yeah. We're very very, very good at that.
The other sort of names have gone. You obviously Paul Cook we were talking about before, but he's now unavailable.
Yeah, got on his tractor and driven into the sunset.
However, Lee Bowyer was one that we didn't, I think we talked about him when we were talking about potential replacements, and I think he was on my list, wasn't he? Did I have Bowyer on my list?
I think you did,
I haven't got it to hand anymore. But he's another one that's sort of popped up, and I've got to be honest, I think that might be quite an easy deal to do. I know that there's obviously compensation to sort out and stuff, but I think that might be one that, because I think he came quite close quite far down the line when we appointed Karanka. So
I think he was quite willing to make the move. Yeah. I know they did interview him, didn't they? But I'm not quite sure how it went from there. But
I think that that might already be, there might be something already sort of done potentially. Well, not done, but that could be resurrected even 7 months down the line or whatever it is.
Let's face it, he would come to Blues. I think it's pretty obvious he would head this way. Now, I think it's important, okay, is the players are pretty much on the floor at the moment, literally on the floor. They're still trying, but bloody hell are they struggling mentally, clearly. There's only one or two players that probably have any form of confidence, and even that is saying, that's probably being kind. We need someone that's going to come in and be a proper leader, is going to stand up. I'm not asking for the passion merchants, okay? I just want a leader. I think the stability side of things is important, but let's just look at this as you're here to for the next 10 games and worry about anything else after that. It needs to be someone that can kick them up the arse, but also someone that can instill them with some form of confidence and manage them properly. Because I think for the past few months, that's not happened. They need the arm around them, but they also need someone to stand up and really like have their backs. And that's not happened recently.
Bad Zigic.
Yeah.
Stand up tall.
It's very tall. He's now, my concern with Pulis, I could understand kind of the reason why you'd want to bring him in for the last 10 games, gets back to basics. It's all about just getting the ball into the box and creating opportunities to score with a solid defence. My problem with him is that with the players so mentally fragile at this point in time, being a strong leader and strong character is all well and good, but if his approach could completely destroy any confidence that any of them have left. I think it's important that we do get back to basics and make things simple for them, but you also have to be able to show real faith in them and instill that confidence, which I said a minute ago. And in the same way that Monk and Rowett did, just get back to basics, make it a really, really simple game for them again. Get them doing the things they do best and forget about everything else. Just make it easy. Last 10 games, pick up the points we need to.
Do you think that there's a number of players that would suffer, not in terms of confidence, but in terms of wouldn't be selected? Because let's face it, we've got a number of players that we signed that are classed as more creative players.
Mm-hmm.
That he would maybe overlook in terms of more of a workhorse sort of side. So one thing that we've said before is that Gary Gardner on the right hand side of midfield, the right wing, is he going to be preferred over someone like Jeremy Bella, who's your more tricky winger?
Well, let's get it. So this is basically what happens, is that you're going to have a back four of Mark Roberts, Harley Dean, George Friend, and Christian Pedersen. So you've got Mark Roberts at right back. That's definitely happening if Pulis comes in. I'm telling you now. But if he wants to deliver the balls like he did for who was it? It's called Pedersen header a couple of weeks ago. Then why not? No. Yeah, all jokes aside, I mean, you're going to be looking at people like Sanchez and Bella and Liko and Halilovic. I think it'd be, we're making assumptions because of, what he is like. But, those players are probably going to have limited game time. And if you look at the stats, most of our goals have come from games when Sanchez and Bella have been on the pit. I went all fucking Kevin Broadhurst for a second there.
Bella.
of less than a you know, though when they've played, we've scored more goals, even if they've not been involved in the actual build-up. So they cause problems themselves. Yeah, and my worry with the Pulis subject, and I've just said it, is that his type of character, it could work out for 10 games with him. I think he probably would be able to screw at this point. So I'd be worried that he'd kill any confidence that any of them have got left. And even that is limited because they're on the floor at the moment anyway.
I don't know. Honestly, I can't see a link either with Pulis anymore. So if this is taken out of Dong's hands, Dong obviously has a good relationship with Gardner. I can't see a connection between Pulis and Zhou. That's where I am with it. And like, Pulis at the moment is the one that everyone's sort of talking about, and this is what's happening. I can't see that link. I can only see that link if Craig Gardner's speaking to someone and saying, you know, my mate Tony will come in and I'll work with him, which it's a fair assumption to make, but I can't link that then with Zhou.
No.
I can't, you know, it might be that he came in for 10 games and we managed to get some results, and I could, you'd hold your hands up and say, you know, fair enough, you've done the job, but I wouldn't want him for longer than that. I don't think he's a long-term solution if we went that route. I'm with you. I think you need someone that's going to come in and offer a bit more confidence to those players that, like you say, they're already shot. And maybe even just someone that they look up to and it inspires them. I don't see an awful lot of them that are going to be inspired if Tony Pulis walks in the door.
No, I think there'd be a lot of, like, there'd be certainly the foreign players probably don't really know who, not even know who Tony Pulis is. You almost need someone of, like, I'm not saying it needs to be a player, someone with status like the Harry Redknapp thing. I don't think it needs to be that. But it needs to be someone that can relate to the players. It needs to be someone that's, I think, almost someone that's maybe like younger or more of a level with a player. So like the Bowyer thing or the Neil Harris thing, I could sort of understand to a point, because, you know, they're not that long out of, you know, out of playing themselves. Bowie obviously has a link to the club, etc. But at the moment, I don't think having a connection with the fans in the club is a big thing. Right. These last 10 games,
no fans there anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge thing at the moment. Next season is completely different. This is just focus on these next 10 games and get the points we need, which I think probably, I don't even know how many points are on at the moment. So I think we need maybe 10 points. Do we need before I think we'll probably do it?
It's not in our hands at the moment either. That's the thing.
It's not.
Not with Rotherham's 74 games in hand.
So we're
going up every time.
We're on 35 points. We probably need they say 50 in the championship, but I'd be surprised if we need that many. It's maybe closer to 12 or 13. Not 13 points overall. I mean, on top of what we've got,
more, yeah.
So like 47, 48 points.
Maybe that was Karanka's target at the start of the season, and that's why he's exceeded.
Yeah. I mean, I've said before, Nigel Atkins would be my preference because he's, you know, he does play an attacking brand of football. People might say he's too nice, but I think he's probably got a good man management style about him. He's also used to working with mental, balmy boards and owners. You know, he's done things the hard way as well. He's obviously done well with Southampton in taking them up to the Premier League from League One. If we were to go down, he's someone that I'd be keen on keeping around for next season. I don't think his name is in the frame. It doesn't sound like it at all. But that's who I'd personally want at the moment.
I don't know.
There's not a lot out there. It's all very meh.
And do you know what? It might be one that we've mentioned and that we want and that we hope, and that, you know, it might be one of them. Or you never know. It might just be Fabio Cannavaro. You know, one of these from Steve McManaman's decided to get into management.
Oh God, yeah, Robbie Fowler. Yeah, you know, we had some
Fowler before. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
All right. You never know; it could be one of these that sort of come out of nowhere. We just
so Graham Bailey on the 18th of February.
Was this the team talk thing?
Yeah. So obviously he said that he knew Crank was under pressure. Yeah, I think he was under pressure. He said they were. He said that Blues had been talking to various candidates, but no, there were no names. There's no, like, it wasn't a source close to the club. It was just a pretty nothing story. Anyway, he came out yesterday and said they've been planning this for a few weeks. Brian Dick again today has said that he expects a replacement to be named today. Wilfred yesterday said...
By Wednesday's game.
Right, by Wednesday's game. You'd probably think that, you know, we will hear something today. And they've already made the decision that they've probably had a conversation with him, whether it's Zoom, a phone call, what the decision has been made, you know, just to pull the trigger. That, to me, suggests that the person is probably out of a job or is someone that can be very, very easily extracted from their current contract.
But that goes to me for... There's the Pulis one. There's obviously Neil Harris that's been mentioned that... out of work at the moment. Or there's Lee Bowyer, who I think they got so far down the line with before that in terms of compensation and stuff are probably all pretty much sort of agreed, and they know what they needed to pay to release him and whatever. So
because it's compo was like $800,000 or something,
and
was it less?
And then they went down as well, so down. It might be a bit less.
I think
than
it's
that.
Contract definitely changed. You'd think it would be less than that. Yep. The Neil Harris one is a bit funny. It's like a kind of like, obviously, I think I've had a bit of a blast at him in the past when he was talking about his 9-point deduction thing and Blues and had a go at the club, and I think I had a bit of a rant around him at the time. He's a bit meh, really. But then is he that sort of character that will just, you know, he's had his own personal battles in the past and he's got through them, so he's a fighter. He did all right with Cardiff. Did he get them into the playoffs? I'm sure he got them into the playoffs last season. I can really struggle to remember some of these things. I'm sure he did. And he obviously got fired, didn't he? So.
They were in the playoffs, weren't they? I think the COVID playoffs.
Yeah. So there you go. So my memory isn't that bad. But he did pretty well with them, I suppose, given like where they were at the time when he took them over. He obviously left for whatever reason.
They lost to Fulham, didn't they?
Is that, yes, there you go. So they didn't invest any more time in him, which is maybe a little bit disappointing. You know, there was the rumours going around about like how the way he handled players, and that's maybe why he left, as opposed to maybe performances on the pitch. If that is the case, then is that the sort of person we want? But, you know, is he the sort of person to just keep things simple for the players and sort of get there? Understands what it's like to be in a tough place, put his arm around them, but also give them that confidence. Maybe he is. Maybe he is.
There was one other one that I don't think it's a main one that's been talked about, but it was a suggestion. And when you think about it, it offers both potential short-term and longer-term. And it was David Wagner, ex-Huddersfield, out of a job at the moment. So available, whether the short term solution would fit, but he might come in and he seems like a very good coach. So
he did verbalise in the press that he was looking to come back to manage in England, didn't he?
Yeah.
Not
Spanish though.
Not Spanish. No, he's probably multilingual, I'd imagine though. He did a good job at Huddersfield. Obviously, got them up. They were very. I remember when he first joined them. There was a lot of talk. I think was it Dean Hoyle, who was the chairman at the time, might still be the chairman, who said he wanted someone that played front foot football and whatnot. And I think they got promoted on maybe the lowest goal scored. It might even been a negative goal. I know they went up in the playoffs, but I think they might have even had negative goal difference or a negative differential, or like a very low goal score column or something along those lines. I don't think that worked out how it was supposed to. Obviously, he kept them up in the Premier League that season when they were up, and then obviously he got sacked the season after. But then he went to Schalke and absolutely bombed. I think they had like 18 games without a win, and obviously he's left there now as well.
Let's not forget though that after leaving Huddersfield, it's not like they went on to bigger and better things.
They've done the same thing. They obviously brought in the Cowleys, didn't they? And then they did well, all right, kept them up, got them out of trouble. And suddenly, early in the season, or I think they were fired and it didn't really work out for them. And now they brought in the guy from the under-23s coach from Leeds, and again, still struggling there. So is there more going on at that club than meets the eye?
Another name that you've just mentioned there, Cowleys.
Yeah, I think they're having a break from football based on the stuff they've said.
Aren't they doing something with university students or something at the moment?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, our Dutch friend who came on the podcast to talk about the chap from, was it Groningen?
Yeah.
Or Utrecht, or I can't remember which one it was. But
No, that was Kieftenbeld was Groningen, that's it, Groningen, yeah.
So he'd obviously said the Cowleys, but again, not 100% sure that they're in the headspace to want to come back to football at the moment. I think they might be taking some time out to just reassess things.
And if Zhao's the one making these decisions, are they going to be the type of people that he looks towards? That's the other thing. And I just don't know. It's this mad sort of guessing game as to what's going on, who's making the decisions, and which route they're going to go down with it.
And this is the thing: who is making the decisions? Who's advising? Is the we don't have a director, a football type person in there. We under the impression that Eric Alonso was advising Dong on transfers in the window. Is he completely out of the picture? Is he still hanging around? There's Andre Manzano. There's Cornea who is involved. You know, for me, like there's a lot of talk that a lot of the names have been mentioned have been English-based managers or like some people that have managed in England before. It absolutely needs to be someone that knows a championship, knows English football. And that is key for me, to be someone that knows this league and maybe has been in this sort of position before and got themselves out of it. Has to be. Don't take a flyer on someone that we don't fucking have a clue about, because it's only going to end one way. I think.
I think I'm open now to just seeing where we go from there. I don't know the solution. I'm not going to claim
we have missed one name actually off that list. Obviously, Brian Dick ran a story on Mark Bowen last night, didn't he, as well?
But so I made the point on the forum yesterday that if Mark Bowen was in the frame, I don't think that Mark Bowen comes out and announces himself as interested in the job.
Obviously not. Obviously not. But I think maybe the person who had the job had already had the job by that point anyway.
Yeah.
But is it let's think back, and obviously Mark Bowen was here before, was under Bruce, he left. We left, and then Bruce kind of almost deteriorated as Blues manager.
Yeah.
Joined Mark Hughes. Mark Hughes out of a job at the moment.
Oh, yeah, there's another one. He put himself in the not in the frame for the Blues job, but put himself out there on Match of the Day yesterday.
I didn't see this. So did he just put himself out? Name out there for another job?
Yeah,
looking
he said
for...
he's looking to get back into management. He didn't say that he wants the Blues job or anything like that.
Oh, right.
I don't think that the news was out there widely yesterday. Then.
I'm not sure how I'd feel about that one either. That's another. Been out of the game for too long for me, and he's a bit of a met appointment.
If Mark Hughes gets the Blues job, then Football Manager is fucking freaky, because in my career with Wrexham, this season, Karanka got sacked and Mark Hughes took over and saved us from the drop. So that's how, Football Manager, if this happens.
Maybe they're using some form. Is it Miles who does the football? Maybe he's got some form of like funky algorithm that he uses so he can work all this stuff out. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll see, won't we?
So I mean, we've got Reading coming up on Wednesday, so obviously we're hoping for a new manager fucking Powerball bounce, I think is what we need. Not just we need to get something from that game. The guy has got to be in for training sessions between now and Wednesday, so today and tomorrow, probably.
I can't imagine today.
Someone's got to be taking training. Is it Mr. Gardner?
Probably.
Working on set pieces
on his own.
Yeah. Poor lad. Oh, Gardner and Spooner.
let's not look forward to that.
You've got like, obviously Speakman's left. Stuart English has left now as well.
Celebrating Sunderland's Cup win yesterday. He's been there a week, I think.
And they've got, so the people that helped out before, obviously Spooner, Gardner, Mike Dodds helped out. Obviously he's setting up the academy now. English was helping out. He's obviously left. Speakman was obviously getting involved there as well. Who is, it's got to be academy people, maybe Paul Harsley, maybe Spooner again for now. You know, just.
Are the first team coaching staff that came in under Karanka hanging around to help take training until the new guy comes in? Because apparently it was very amicable, I think, the departure. So
yeah,
I can't see that. But
if that is the case, great. But I think we're all aware that it needs to be an absolutely fresh start.
Even for
10 games, you can't be leaving the rest of the Spanish and Portuguese guys hanging around. Tony Roberts, goalkeeping coach, obviously, I don't think that's too much of an issue. But the guys that are coaching at the moment, Juan, I forget his name, via Senova and
Juan. I agree with you. I think they've all got to go, and I reckon they probably will. David. I think they've all gone. I can't imagine that they would stick around. I think that's a sort of bundle. See you later, you're off. But that literally does to me leave Craig Gardner and a handful of people around to help take training today. Because I can't see that anyone's going to have come in by today's training to take it. Not prior to an announcement anyway, so.
It's a bit concerning, actually, thinking about it. I mean, there's got to be someone in taking it, at least tomorrow. I don't know, would they reckon they do half session tomorrow or something because they've got the game on?
On Wednesday? I don't know. Would it be full session tomorrow and then half on Wednesday?
I'm not sure if they still train on match days.
All right then, let's have a look at Reading. New manager hopefully in place. Nothing, no idea who it's going to be. So we don't know what to expect. Hopefully just the fucking back to basics. And we need points. We need points.
Yeah, it'd be really nice to win, wouldn't it? To just take a bit of pressure off for 3 points.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is dependent on having that person in place by that game and someone that's had some time in training session too.
They ain't going to have much time.
No.
A training session.
In the same way that Monk and Rowett did, you know, just get them, it's just
focused.
Give them a bit of confidence, make it really simple. This is what we're going to do. Try and get this round thing in between those white posts and just make it really, really straightforward. Reading, I think they started off this season really well, didn't they? And obviously we went there and got one of our very few wins. I think they're still sitting up there in top six at the moment. Didn't need to have a draw against Forest at the weekend.
I have no idea where they are in the table. All I know is that they're not around us in the bottom.
they're definitely up there. I mean, they've on a fairly good run. I think they've won. They beat Rotherham, thank you. They beat Blackburn. They beat Sheffield Wednesday quite comprehensively. They drew with Nottingham Forest at the weekend. So, fairly decent run. Before that, they lost to Wickham 1-0. So, and then they lost to Middlesbrough before that. They're on a fairly decent bit. They're on a fairly decent run. I think last season they beat us, didn't they? At our place, was it 3-1? I think I was.
I'm not
Hogan scored.
I'm not going to lie. The last two seasons, or three seasons, including this one, have sort of merged into one because of lockdown. It's like you can remember going to games. You can remember half a season. I'm confusing myself now. Was it half a season last season where it was like the lockdown started?
Okay, so it was.
This is the first full season behind.
Coincidentally,
doors.
I think Reading might have been the last game into the lockdown.
It was. And then we went to Bongo's Bingo and got smashed.
I did not. I can't remember what I was doing. I think I might have been ill, actually. I think I had a... I thought it was at the time, but I think it actually worked out to be tonsillitis. It was tonsillitis, but I thought it was COVID. And I spent about 2 weeks just sitting in my bed. I was still working throughout the whole thing, but I basically just sat in bed and worked for the whole thing. I was on a training course of a Dutch engineer. Anyway, you don't need to know about that. So
we don't.
So Reading. It's obviously very hard to make any predictions because...
Nope. I know what I'm predicting.
3-0?
3-0 Blues. Back. It's back. I don't even know who's going to be in charge, but it's back. Confidence.
For me, I don't want to make a prediction without knowing the current situation. If it's going to be...
You're making a prediction?
No, I'm going to make a prediction.
I'm going to force you anyway.
I might make two. If it's going to be Gardner and Spooner for Wednesday, I'm going to say we're probably going to lose. Okay.
Base the assumption on it's not. The new manager is in place.
The new manager is in. I've done a lot of 1-1s lately. Right. I'm going to
say. Last one didn't work out very well.
It did not. No, the one before that was all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the team. Let's talk about how would we line up? Now he's gone.
Yeah.
So how do we line up? Do we go out? And obviously we heard someone talking about 4-4-2. I mean, I don't buy into the 4-4-2 stuff, but actually
two strikers, two wingers, two midfielders and a back four. I'm down, mate. I'm not that's the holy grail and you have to play that way and whatever else, and I've said it before, but to go back to basics to try and pick up some points coming in as a manager where you're fresh, everyone understands it. You've got set roles, people. It's not complicated, is it?
So if you're going to go to 4-4-2, right, okay, I get why
Bella
people want to do
right
that
hand side, Sanchez on the left.
Sanchez does not like playing on the left.
Don't give a fuck.
He's spoken about that. He doesn't think he gets the best out of him. I don't think he's actually quick enough. He is quick, but I don't think he moves in a way that benefits him getting past someone to whip a ball in. So then you're relying on Pedersen on an overlap or something along those lines. Maybe you play Halilovic on the left side because he can play there. He's obviously got a good left foot. I wouldn't be against that.
No.
The thing about Bella is that he can actually play on either side and cross with either foot as well. So he's not as one-footed as Sanchez.
No, but I do think that putting him on that left-hand side does hamper him because I suppose on the right-hand side, he still looks to try and hold the ball up, doesn't he, instead of putting the cross in. But, I'd just go with it and just make that midfield just battle. Gardner and Sunjic as the two midfielders.
Yeah. I think you probably have to. You'd have to do that, wouldn't you? Sunjic is on 9 yellow cards now, as well, isn't he?
Picked up another one at the weekend, so
that's a concern for me. But I don't think you can. You can't vote. I mean, he's going to get booked probably. I don't think you can focus on that when it comes to team selection. Anyway, you deal with that if and when it happens. I'm not a 4-4-2 merchant, so I don't necessarily agree that that is the way to go. But you know, if we're talking about getting back to basics and just getting the ball into the box, it's the best opportunity to score. You know, actually, you know, maybe it's not such a bad thing.
And when you're talking about English football and getting back to basics, there's a fucking magazine called 4-4-2. It is basics, isn't it? It's like you look at football formations and it's 4-4-2. It's as basic as you can get in football. Everyone understands it.
Yeah.
So I'd do it. I'm not, but like I say, I don't think that a manager has to, like, next season, if we stay up, I don't think that he has to start playing 4-4-2. Then experiment, go with something else. I don't mind.
We're also wondering if the manager that comes in now will be the same manager we've got next season. Well, I'm not sure that will be the case.
No, it might be a temporary one and then get another Spaniard in for next year. Project de España.
if Dong's gone, I don't know if there will be it. I don't think they will go down the Spanish route again.
No. Well, we'll see what happens, won't we? But go on then, what's your prediction?
I think I'm going to go 1-1. After all that, I'm going to go 1-1. Go on.
No, I'm going to say, I'm positivity train. 3-0 Blues.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I don't even know who's coming in.
You know, if Gardner can take the reins without any intervention from Spooner, you know, I think we could win 3-0. But
you're going 1-1.
I'm going 1-1. Yeah. I think either or, it's almost sitting on the fence. I don't think that Reading team are as good as their league position suggests. I think we are currently as bad as our league position suggests, but Someone just come in and give these players a little bit of confidence to go out there and battle away and just eke out some points, either way. I'm going 1-1. Going to sit almost like just not commit to anything. I may change my mind closer to the time.
Yeah, when you actually see the manager. And on that point, by the time that people listen to this, it's probably been two announcements. One, that's a cranker's gun. And two, that there's the new manager and whoever that is. Hopefully, it's inspiring. But who knows? We'll find out.
Let's be honest. Is it going to be any less inspiring than the manager that's just left?
No.
I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about his demeanour and the way he's been recently, not about the free-for-all that surrounded and history that surrounded him when he was first appointed, because, you know, we were all, a lot of people, or at least 60% of the fan base were pretty positive about it. But obviously died on its arse, and pretty quickly for most people.
Let's get a spark.
And that's central. I think that's all we need to just, it's, you know, it's funny you say that, you have the spark, because you've obviously done that
Mark
little
Hughes.
GIF that you've done,
oh,
that little
I
GIF
thought
with,
you were going to say sparky.
With Karanka sitting in thing. This is fine. We just need that spark to light a fire under the players, and hopefully it makes a bit of a difference. Not burn down the house, because it's already falling down. So we don't need to worry about burning it down. It doesn't need any help.
Wow. We'll see where we are on Wednesday. Are we going to come back for a midweek?
It makes sense. I'm off on Wednesday. It's Paddy's Day. I'm not that I celebrate it, but it's a bank holiday. So whoop. Yes, we'll do that.
Happy St. Patrick's Day for Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm not going to celebrate it. I don't celebrate it. I'm not Irish.
I might get a Guinness in for the to record the podcast.
The day off work will be gladly received.
Right. Well, enjoy the news when it comes out. Hopefully,
yes.
Hopefully, it's positive, and everyone. Well, not everyone's going to be happy, but hopefully a majority are happy.
Look, it doesn't matter if we're happy or not. We just need to get fucking results, and it's a temporary thing. Let's forget about everything. Let's just get behind them as well as we can do and just fucking pick up 10, 11, 12 points and see us to safety. That's all we fucking need for now.
Yeah, I'm with you. Right, until next time, thanks for listening and keep right on.
Keep right on.